You go. Oh, there you are. Okay. That camera works. Yep. Yep. Hey, I see you. You look like a state employee. I'm not even sure what that really means. Has different deals. Look at all these. Who are you waving at? Yeah. That boy's dang. Thank you, girl. Thank you. Church, we've got classrooms for all of these young men and women to go to, be a part of. Go in there and meet Jesus in a way that they'll grasp, right? Not stay out here and not have to sit still and not have to concentrate so they can hear what I'm saying. And they get to go in that class where those teachers have prepared a lesson for them, and they get to have a little bit of time in a way that they grasp, that they're going to learn, that they can take a hold of. So we're blessed by that. If you want to be a part of that, say something to leadership, we'll get you involved in that deal. But let's us now pray for these children, those classrooms, and those teachers. So all of us cowboys, let's pull our hats off. All of us cowboys will pull our hats off, and then let's all bow our head and close our eyes so that we can just focus on Jesus while we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you again for coming and getting us. Lord, we know that that's just what you do. Lord, help us teach our children, not just here on Sunday, but at home, that that's what you do. And that by surrendering, by submitting, by standing for you, we can reach the potential of who you've called us to be. We thank you for this time, these classrooms, those teachers, and all these children, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. All right, now get a cup of coffee. Get a cup of coffee on the way out. You want coffee? You do?
I already got my coffee.
You already had? Is it black coffee, or did you add any sugar to it?
I'm still drinking mine.
You're still? That's real. That's real. There you go. There's some kids really know how to do it. She's one of them. I see that he did it. No, he did it. If you got coffee, have a sip. Wow. I just got to tell you, I prayed hard for the Broncos to win. Nailed it. Overtime, huh? Overtime, sometime, most of the time. It doesn't matter the time. It's a W. And they moved on. And I believe Jarrett can continue the role. Anyhow, church, thank you for praying for the Denver Broncos. Nailed it. Oh. So, I struggle with a lot of things in my life. I suspect y'all do too. Bravery is one of them. Plenty of times I've been faced with something and I think, not today. So, but what I want to talk about this morning is how we respond to what the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, is calling us to do. You see, if you are saved, born again, you're a believer, they're not just words. It's not just like, oh yeah, I believe. Because if you believe something, it changes you. You do something with that. If you believe something, if you say, I believe, like, you say, I believe that pilot can fly that plane really well. And I believe that he can, but I ain't getting on it. Because if there's a chance he don't, I don't want to be on it. So I'm saying I believe, but now I don't mind flying. That's a lie. I don't like flying. But to say I believe if you really do, then you put your trust in that thing. You do something. Your feet go, your hands go, you're a participant in it. One of the things I've struggled with, especially lately, is we raise a lot of horses, so we got young horses around the house, right? And so I'll get to saddle them and then fooling with them, and they're gentle, and I feel like, this sucker's nice. This is a nice pony right here. It's time for me to get on this horse. But I think maybe tomorrow. Because it's one thing for that horse to trot around out there with a saddle on its back and not be a lunatic, right? Not try to buck it off and then we'll start flapping on the top of it. It's one thing to see that horse handle that saddle pretty good, but it's going to change if I were to step up on that pony's back. Different deal. And the chance that I don't survive the little bit of mayhem and I pile up on the ground, more and more I realize how long it would take me to recover. So more and more I think, you know what, that's the last one I'm getting on. And I ain't going to ride nothing sketchy anymore. But life goes on. But what I'm talking about is the idea that I watch that horse run around with that saddle on its back, and I think, pretty smart cookie, learned something. It's time now to get on its back. And then for me to trust, number one, that it's not going to fall completely apart, but number two, that I still have the ability to weather that little bitty storm, considering it's a little bitty one. I'm unable to weather violent, terrific storms. But I just don't have the confidence in me anymore. I suspect it happens to a lot of us. It's a different thing. And so when it does come time to step up on there, I'm just telling you, for me, maybe it's different for you or people you know, but there's that time like, okay, it's time. And so everything's tight, no pony standing there. And you think to yourself, self, just do it. And you put your foot in that stirrup and you kind of like just seeing how she's going to behave, right? And she don't mind. But I'm not really sitting on her back yet. I'm just like, does this freak you out too much? And she goes, no, no. Because in her mind she's going, just get up there, cowboy. Because the truth is, if you're going to do this thing, you put your foot in that stirrup and you just swing over the top and you get a hope, right? It's just the way it's supposed to happen. Now, if you swing over the top and you sit down and you clamp down like a vice grip, you're going to create some issues you probably don't recover from. Unless you're you, like you're young. I don't. But the thing is, you got to have some confidence. And so what am I doing when I do that on that stirrup? I'm kind of testing that horse, right? I'm trying to read the story. I'm just trying to see. That's what I'm telling you. Really what I'm doing is talking about, come on, Brett, you chicken heart. Just do it. Come on. Come on. Oh, I'm going to have to do it tomorrow. Okay. Because that's just me. This morning I want to talk about what it means for us to really test something. To test something. Because I believe most of us have this thing in our brains that we're Christians. We feel like we're believers. We want to be followers of Jesus. But God, if you're going to send me to Zimbabwe to be a midwife, I need you to prove it to me. I need you to prove it. Because we all read in that Old Testament story about turning the fleece, laying the fleece down on the ground, said, Lord, if you really mean it, you make the fleece wet in the morning and all the ground dry. And then it was. And you think, wow, nailed it. But then, you know what Gideon does? He says, listen, just to make sure, Lord, just to be sure, tomorrow morning you make the fleece dry and all the ground wet. And you know what? God did do that. You see, he was testing God. So we'll read that and we'll think, that gives me the authority to do something very similar. And can I tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. But we'll hear that story and we'll know that, right? We'll think to ourselves, that's the right way to do stuff. God, if you're sending me to Zimbabwe to be a midwife, prove it to me. And then just prove it again. Just in another way, prove it again. I would do that infinitely, right? Nothing could be further from the truth. God's not to be tested. In fact, when Jesus was tempted by the devil to jump off of the tower, what did Jesus say? Thou shalt not test the Lord your God. Good enough for me. That excludes me from testing God again. But can I tell you that what I really want, maybe what you really want, is direction from God, which is a different thing than testing, which is something, which is not saying prove it, which is saying I'm on my way, here I go, this is you called me and I'm going. Now, as I'm on my way, I need you to help me make good decisions about whether I turn left here or right here or I keep going straight. Direction, that's not testing. You see the difference in that thing? And so this morning, I struggle. There's so much scripture. There's so much in the Bible that talks about how we consider what God's calling on our life is and how we respond to it and how we would use scripture to read that. There's tons of it. So I went back into the Old Testament, and I got to Genesis chapter 24, and I want you to get there too. Genesis chapter 24. So Abraham and Isaac, Isaac's the boy that was born. Abraham was 100 years old, and he had a son named Isaac, and Isaac raises up Jacob, who raises up the 12 tribes. But here's where Isaac is a grown-up, and he's going to need a wife. And so just walk through this with me. Because somehow we've got to understand the difference between I'm testing God, prove to me that you want me to do this, Lord, or saying, Lord, you told me, you sent me, I'm on my way, now help me make decisions about direction. Help me make decisions about the next right step, because I'm taking a step. I'm not standing around watching. I'm not standing around waiting. You called me and I'm gone. So here it says, In Genesis 24, he said, Abraham was an old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And one day Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh and swear to the Lord God of heaven and earth that you won't allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You're just going to have to trot with me, so keep your Bibles open. But so literally, Abraham says to his servant, Eleazar, probably, he said, listen, go back home and find a wife for me. I don't want him to marry a Canaanite. And so back in this day, there was no nation of Israel. But there was a small group of people who still knew God. Abraham was among them. His brother Nahor was among them. His family was among them, and they lived back there. Remember, Abraham got called out of Ur. I love that town. Ur, and off he goes. So he's way out over here, and the whole family's back over here, but they knew who God was. And he said, go back to them and find somebody for my son, because if he marries one of these Canaanite women and they include all of their worshiping junk, it's going to mess that boy up. If they bring their other gods into the story, if he has to compromise and the in-laws are all about these other gods and he has to stand up for God alone. So the two should not cohabitate. Abraham says, go back to my family and find a bride for this boy. And so he says, I'll do it, but what if the woman don't want to come? He said, well, listen, then you're released from your vow. But Abraham said, I'm trusting God's doing this. It's the right thing to do. I feel like that's the way God led me to do. So go. He's an old man. He can't go. So Eleazar goes. The servant goes. And in 8 it said, if she's unwilling to come back with you, then you're free from the oath of mine. And under no circumstances are you to take my son back there. The question was, well, what if she don't come? You want me to take him over there and let him pick one out? He said, no, no, no. Do not take him back. And you know why? Because God promised them this land. Let him stay here. Don't go back there. Make him stay here. But don't find a Canaanite. He's just trusting God with the whole thing, right? So he took an oath. So in 10 it said he loaded 10 of his camels with all kinds of gifts for his master, and he traveled to the distant. Those towns are so hard to say. And there he went to the town of Abraham's brother, Nahor, and he settled where he settled. And he made the camels kneel down beside a well just outside of town. It was evening, and the women were coming out to draw water because that's the normal thing to do. So I want to take a minute to say this. So it wasn't like the city of Kaufman. So, and the water was scarce, and so there was a well, and so the whole town was within view of the well. Because I wouldn't want to live here and have to walk all the way to Kaufman to go get water. I would want to live as close to the well as I could. Not just for my water, but for all my livestock. So it's work. So here is this community, and here's a well. And I want to say this because let's don't think that here's a well way over here and there's nobody around. The whole town recognizes that this herd of camels and these people showed up. They saw him coming. They see him there. Here he's sitting outside there taking a break, probably some trees around there and a little bit of shade, right? And so here's where I want to get. In 14, here's what the servant said. He said, here's my request. I did what I was told to do. I feel like I'm doing what I've been called to do. This is my request, Lord. I'm going to ask one of these women, please give me a drink from your jug. And if she says, yeah, have a drink, and let me water your camels too. He said, let her be the one that you've selected for Isaac's wife. And this is how I'm going to know that you show unfailing love to my master. Can I just tell you, if it was left up to him, he just picks the prettiest one he can find, right? So if I'm going to go find a wife for my boss's son, I just go find the prettiest woman. And I just choose. But he's not trying to choose. He says, this is a mission. This is from God. So God, direct me. Help me. I'm not testing you, God. I'm just saying, help me understand what you're asking me to do. I want to pick the right one. I want to go where you've called me to go. Do what you've called me to do. So here it is. If she says, yeah, I'll give you a drink, but hold up. Let me water all your camels too. Then he's going to say, oh, okay. Okay. We're on to something here. And so she goes on. He says that. And she answers, oh, yeah, have a drink. Let me water your camels. And in 21, it said, so the servant watched her in silence, wondering whether or not the Lord had given him success in his mission. In 22, it said, then at last the camels had finished drinking, and he took out a gold ring for a nose and two large gold bracelets for a wrist. It was a reward. He was recognizing God's sovereign hand in all of this, not because of a test, but because he had already journeyed for weeks to get where he was in the land. He didn't know what town he was going to. He just knew the neighborhood he was going to, the country he was going to. He's there. He said, it's time to start looking. And so, Lord, help me figure this out. So if she said, I'm going to water the camels too, it means something. And she does. And he knows. And he watches her do it. And just so you know, camels drink water like crazy. And if you just carry in 2 or 3 gallons on your shoulder, I bet it takes 10 of those to water a camel. That would have took 100 trips to the well to water all the camels, right? This is real work. I'm not saying nothing, but the servant watched her in silence. Anyway, he didn't help. Whose daughter are you? And please tell me, would your father have any room to put us up right in 23? And she said, well, I'm the daughter of Bethuel. My grandparents are Abraham's brother Nahor and Milcah. And yes, we got plenty of straw and feed for your camels, and we got room for your guests. Ding, 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 ding. Right? The man bowed low and he worshiped the Lord. He recognized that God had sovereignly accomplished just what he was trying to get done. First time. First time. And he said, praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. The Lord has shown unfailing love and faithfulness to my master, for he has led me straight to my master's relatives, exactly the place where he was supposed to be. Can I tell you that he didn't pray which way to go, Lord? He didn't pray, prove to me that this is what I ought to be doing, Lord. He didn't say, somehow, Lord, just give me a sign, a star, something like that. He said, he just got up. He said, I got to go that way. Took 10 camels, all the provision, some people. There's a big old bunch, and they head that way. On the way, he's trying to figure out how it's all going to work out. Keep up with me. The woman ran home, tell everybody in the family. In 31, we see Laban said to the servant, Laban, this guy's a horse trader. You read on here, you're going to find out in the next couple chapters about Uncle Laban. That's a Mexican word for horse trader. And Laban said, come stay with us, you who are blessed by the Lord, because he knew God. Come stay, you who are blessed by the Lord. He didn't say blessed by the sun god or by the water god or by the sand god or by the tree god. He said, you who are blessed by the Lord El Shaddai, God Almighty. He knows. Come stay with us. Why are you standing outside of town when I have room ready for y'all, place prepared for all the camels? And so off everybody goes with Laban. And so when they get there in 33, the food was served, but Abraham's servant said, listen, hold up. I don't want to eat until I've told you why I have come. He's convinced he's landed in the right place, doing the right thing. He was obedient to do everything that he was told and directed to do. He said, God, continue to give me direction. He's moving the whole time. He's accomplishing what he feels like his mission is. He's not sitting around talking about prove it to me and then I'll take off. He's in it. And so when he gets there in the family, and they're all sitting there that evening, it's all the food's ready and everything. They say, come on, let's eat. We're going to party. He said, no, because this is how serious this stuff is for him and for you and I. He said, before we get to the eating part, I got to know what my next right step is. So here, I'm just going to lay it out. I'm just going to tell you. I'm here because I've been commanded by my master to come get a bride for his son. From this tribe, he's your brother, he's your uncle, Uncle Abraham. Do you think they, can I just tell you, you think those families knew each other? They're hundreds of miles away. Right? Do you think they knew his name was Abraham now? He left, his name was Abram. I'm just telling you, the Bible befuddles me sometimes. Befuddles. Anyway, he said, I'm going to tell you the whole story because how you respond is what's going to dictate my next step. He said, I'm in the business of doing the Lord's work. So he lays it all out on the line. This is why I'm here. This is why all the camels. This is why all the people with me. I came here to get a wife for Isaac. Listen, Isaac was born to an old man. He was 100. Not only was he an old man, 100, and his mama 90, but listen, his daddy took him up on Moriah and was going to sacrifice him. And then God provided a lamb. And this boy has done nothing but blossom under the servanthood of El Shaddai, God Almighty, all this time. And now it's time for him to get a wife, and I was supposed to come back to his family to find her. And so I did. And I even asked the Lord to make it plain. Tell me if I'm on the right track. Keep it going. I'm moving. I'm going to find this woman. I don't know if she's here or there or the next town or the next town. But I said, Lord, when she comes out, she gives me a drink. She offers to water all these camels. Make her be the one. And it happened just like that. So, having explained all that, he says this in 48 or in 47. Then I asked, whose daughter are you? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel. And my grandparents are Nahor and Milcah. And so I put a ring on her nose and a bracelet on her wrist. And then I bowed low and I worshiped the Lord and I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, because he led me straight to my master's niece to be his son's wife. So tell me, will you or won't you show unfailing love and faithfulness to my master? Please tell me yes or no. And then I'm going to know what to do next. He wasn't going to linger there. He didn't want to have a big meal and big party about all this stuff. He said, let's decide. This is God's business. We're in it. So let's decide. You see how important it is to not just take the step, but be intentional. To be intentional, to know what you're doing, and to say what you're going to say. Accomplish what you've been called to do. I'm the worst at it, but this is a mandate. This is the way God works. So Laban and his daddy replied, "The Lord's obviously brought you here, so there is nothing we can say. Here's Rebekah. Take her and go. Yes, let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." That's a big deal. Like, that don't just happen every day. That's sovereignly, providentially figured out ahead of time. So the servant tells the whole story. They talk about it just has to be God. Who are we to get in the way of that? We're not going to fight this thing, because they all trust the same El Shaddai, the same God. So everybody's on the same page. You nailed it, servant. You're in the right place, finding the right people and the right family. You're all God-fearing. Israel doesn't exist yet. So this is super unusual in this culture, in this time. And they say, yeah, take her. They don't mean like, oh, we're glad to get rid of her. They say like, that's what God does. We understand that's how God works. And we ain't stupid enough to get in the way of that. So yeah, there it is. Well, so when he heard him answer that, he bowed and he worshiped, and they ate, and it was a party, and it was all good. And it was, and because he knew his next step was to get her, load up everybody, and head. He gave gifts to everybody. That's part of that whole dowry. The part of Abraham was very wealthy, and Bethuel and his family was probably pretty well off too. But he gave a lot of gifts. That's why all the camels were loaded up. And so he gave all that away to the family as a dowry kind of a thing. And he didn't buy her, but there was going to be a loss in the family. There should be some, in that mindset, in the day, compensation. So anyway, he said, cool, let's eat. I got a long way to go. I got weeks of travel ahead of us starting tomorrow morning. He said, don't delay me in 56. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master. Well, they said in 57, let's call Rebekah and ask her what she thinks. And so they called Rebekah and they said, are you willing to go with this man? And she said, yes, I'll go. Can I just paint this picture maybe a little bit? So this party's going on. She sat there and heard all the story about the servant talking about Abraham and Isaac and how he's bragging on the family and on Isaac and how that's cool and how he's special, how this is a different thing. And she's just standing in the background and she's thinking to herself, how awesome is this? And she knows they're after her. She knows that she's the one that they're talking about. So the choice is Rebekah. And she listens to all this. And finally, when they finally go, hey, let's just see if she agrees with this thing. And they say, hey, Rebekah, what do you think? She said the same thing everybody else said. Could she dream? Could this be hopeful and wishful? Yeah. But what she said was, yes. If God's in it, it must be right. My purpose isn't to say, prove it to me. Give me an hour, because I'm going to go have to get this fleece and lay it on the ground and see if God does something with it. She decided, like the servant decided, like Bethuel decided, like everybody in this story has decided. If God's in this thing, if God's leading me to do it, let's take the steps. Let's go. And then we'll figure it out, because God will direct us. Instead of asking God for a test, they just continue to ask God, keep leading me, and I'm going to be obedient to recognize what you're doing. Opportunity, the space, the need. All that's a beautiful thing. And this whole thing was confirmed. Rebekah knew it the same. And all she does is listen to this story that evening, and she just knows that this is for her, that God has chosen her. In a similar way, when the angel stood before Mary and said, blessed and highly favored, And she didn't say, whew, I've got to get out of here. But Rebecca heard, Mary heard, and you know what they did? They said, let's do it just like you said, Lord. I'm in. I'm willing to take the step. I'm willing to go. I don't want to stand here and test you and keep testing you. I'm guilty of testing a lot. God called me to be a pastor of a church. Thank you for not firing me so far. I never saw that coming. I have no problem preaching Jesus, but to pastor a church? Come on. And it took me over a year because I wanted to test God. And you know what he never did? Prove it to me. If that's what you want me to do, Lord, prove it to me. If that's what you want me to do, Lord, just prove it. Just make the fleece wet and the ground dry. Just do it, Lord. I read that in Scripture. Shouldn't you do that for me? And he didn't even answer. I wasn't going that direction. I was sitting waiting. And you know, I'll just tell you this. When that time came that I submitted and I said, Lord, if that's what you want, here I go. And in less than 24 hours, I was hired as the pastor of this church. After over a year, I just prove it to me, Lord, and not one word. I knew what I ought to do. I was scared to do it. I didn't think I was qualified to do it. I didn't think I could do it. I don't want to call you a dummy, but not me. And bam. All I know is that the right thing to do is to go. Because if it's God, it works. And what if it ain't? What if it is me? What if it is the pizza? No harm, no foul. Figure something out. I know something from doing something. But come on, man. What you and I do is we think, I see what you're doing there, Lord. Prove it a little bit more. Do it again. God has called you and I to people, not this bunch of people. We come here to strengthen, encourage, and to grow, and then we go out there to people, the people who walk around you every day, the people who stand beside you in the line, who are at the gas station, who are in your job. Those people are the ones who need to see Jesus in you. And God's using you to do that. And here we strengthen and encourage you and lift each other up. God's calling you to move, to serve, to stand. And not just now and then. This should be our lifestyle. This should be who we are. It just is the truth of it. This story of the servant and Isaac is the way God has instructed us to behave. Get going. You can ask for direction. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's wise. But then you also got to be smart enough to be tuned in. That means this book matters to us. These words matter to us. This is something we have to have in us. Not heard somebody say it. Not to memorize John 3:16. That's good enough. But to have the book in us. That's how we hear God speak. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read it out loud. But here's what is going on. Rebecca says, I'll go. The next morning they get up and they leave out. They got a couple of weeks head back, several weeks headed back. And when they finally get back there close to town, Isaac standing out there looking around. He sees the camels coming. He shows up. Rebecca says, whoa, read the story. Who's that out there? Can I tell you, for the few weeks that they've been traveling every night by the campfire, I bet Rebecca said, tell me again about Isaac. Tell me again about the story, about how Abraham and about how his mom and what the ranch is like. And tell me again. She's in. She's committed. She's going. She's not sitting there saying, prove it. She is engaged. And then when she sees him, she said, who's that? And he said, that is my master. And she comes. And I want you to see in the last of 24,
In verse 67, and Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife, and he loved her deeply. And she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. She had already died. The tent had been empty for a long time. This was a new day. But here's what I know. The lesson for you and I in this and in Scripture and all of the Bible, the lesson for us is to get off your W's. That's the little things on your pocket right there. Get off of your W's and get to moving and get to going. God, we all know what God is calling and pecking at us to do, and it's something. Why are you still sitting there? Why are you still asking God to prove it? God, the right thing for you and I to do is to begin to go that way. Don't hesitate. Just when we know it, go. And if you're wrong, make an adjustment. But just because it's tough doesn't mean it's that can't be God. Can I tell you? Nobody suffered more than Jesus. But just because it's easy don't mean it's God. Can I tell you? Jonah slept in the bunk of that boat while the sailors, the men of the sea, were scared out of their wits. The truth is, only you know. Only you know. Move. Don't hesitate. Stop slowing down. There's an accidental theologian one time that said this. Write this down. Get her done. Pray with me. I don't know how you do what you do, Lord. But I know that you are relentless. That you're loving and gracious, and that your ways are higher than my ways. That you know the whole story, beginning to end. That you've got it all. And that somehow, in some way, of all the jillions of people in the world, you're involved in my life also. That you're directing me. That you have all of this under control. It's going just like you would have it to go. And my struggle is, knowing all of that, I fail to trust you. I fail to trust you with my feet and my hands. I want to say it with my mouth. I want to believe it in my mind. But to trust you means that I would go. That I would move. That I would do. Lord, help me understand that I have a purpose and a mission, and that accomplishing that means I don't ask questions, that I trust, Lord, I just thank you. And it's in your Son's name, on the very authority of Christ Jesus himself, that we pray and ask all of these things. And all God's people say, amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a land. This shore, I'll fly away. Oh yeah, I'll fly away. Oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye bye. I will fly away.
Hey Jerry.
Bye bye, I will fly away. Yes, when I die, hallelujah, bye bye. Yes, when I die, hallelujah, bye bye.
Yes,
I'll fly away.